Hello again, I'm Armin Alney with a special edition of To the Point. President Trump is making the rounds of Europe, starting at NATO headquarters in Brussels, ending with NATO's principal antagonist, Vladimir Putin of Russia. In between, he'll get a very unorthodox welcome in London, where a huge balloon, an inflated baby designed in Trump's image, will be floating over the Houses of Parliament, complete with a diaper. That calls for a conversation about U.S. relations with the United Kingdom. But first, here's Mr. Trump with British broadcaster Piers Morgan.
This has been going on between you and my country, which has been...
But I think it's good. I think I'm very popular in your country.
Let's not be too hasty, Mr. President.
No, but I believe that. I really do. I believe
there's a lot of,
I get so much fan mail from people in your country. They love my sense of security. They love what I'm saying about many different things. I have a great... I own the Great Turnberry and other things in your country, Turnberry in Scotland.
Yeah.
Mary Jasewski is chief editorial writer of the Independent newspaper in London. Always good to talk with you.
Thank you.
So Piers Morgan said, let's not be too hasty when you say that the British people love you. Where do you come down on that issue? Do they or don't they?
Well, I think there is a very vocal section of the population which is adamantly opposed to Donald Trump and has been right through the campaign and ever since his inauguration. Now, it's probably true that at grassroots level, there is also a section of the population that sometimes calls in phone-in programs and sometimes writes to newspapers, which says to the other half of the British population, look, he's the elected president of the United States and he tells it how it is and we like it that way.
So, do we like it, for example, when he talks about a sense of security? What do you suppose he means by that, and what might it mean to people in Britain listening to that interview?
Well, I suppose that it means the NATO defense umbrella, providing UK security, and the Transatlantic Alliance. Now, I'm not sure that that's necessarily how it would look to the same people that I talked about who are calling in phone-ins and writing to newspapers in support of Donald Trump. But certainly that would be one aspect, I think.
He mentioned Turnberry, the Scottish golfing resort that he owns. Is that something, as he suggested, I think, that would make him popular with people in Britain?
Well, when he wanted to develop a new golfing resort in Scotland a few years ago, there was an enormous... This was way before his presidential campaign, and there were a lot of protests, especially on environmental grounds. Now, I think that it was actually built. And in fact, he's going to spend pretty much, I think, a day and a half of his visit to the UK. He's going to spend in Scotland at one of his resorts.
So how do people feel about that? There's a lot of criticism here in this country because he goes to his own resorts, he takes the Secret Service with him, and the resorts make a huge amount of money from his arrival.
Well, I think there's going to be protests even up there. The main protests are going to be down in London, but I think there are going to be protests even there. But the actual there's already a bit of a fuss about the security bill, and it got to the point where Scotland was saying, we're not going to pay that out of Scottish budget, and so the central government in Westminster stepped in and said, no, you don't have to do it, we'll do it. But I think so far as the rest of the country is concerned, actually there's quite a lot of relief that he's going to be spending pretty much half his time in the UK in his golf resort, both because of the security considerations and because of the enormous difficulties that there are going to be because of these demonstrations.
You say there might be. You say there's relief in London, I presume, because it might not be as disruptive as it could be. But what about the inflatable baby with diapers made to look like Trump that's going to be hanging over the Houses of Parliament?
Yes, well, this morning the U.S. ambassador in London was on the radio and he was asked about it and he said, do you think that the president will be sort of upset about this? And he said, no, it's absolutely fine. In London and further afield, I would say it's not quite fine. There are a lot of different opinions about it. The people hostile to Donald Trump say, you know, this is a wonderful idea, and people have pitched in. This has been crowdfunded. The cost of making this inflatable and flying it, it's been crowdfunded through the internet. So obviously there's enough opinion there supporting it for it to happen. There was quite a controversy because the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, was asked to make a decision on whether it would be sort of legal or permitted to fly this thing. And he came down immediately saying, yes, it's absolutely fine. I'm all for freedom of expression, freedom of speech. This is part of freedom of expression. But then you've got a section, especially of the political establishment, that's saying this is outrageous, it's completely undignified, this is no way to treat an elected president of the United States, even if you don't like him. So all those opinions are all around in London at the moment, and people are getting very, you know, it's a big controversy here.
Why did they choose that image of the baby with diapers?
I think because it's one of the sort of favorite cartoon images in a way, and I don't know about in the American media, but in the European media and the British media in particular, there've been quite a lot of cartoons which depict Donald Trump as either a baby in nappies or a toddler. There've been pictures of depictions of summit meetings with ordinary chairs around the table, and then one chair, which is a high chair, you know, used by toddlers, and that has a label on it saying Donald Trump or U.S. President or whatever. So it's quite a familiar image here, I would say.
This is the land of Monty Python that we're talking about, Britain, and I'm wondering, is this typical? Is this the sort of thing that is common when heads of state visit, particularly the head of state of the United States of America?
I would say it's not very typical at all. That said, of course, with George W. Bush and the Iraq War, there was a lot of very hostile opinion. But then Barack Obama was hugely popular, and there were people sort of saying, well, you know, this is no way to treat a president. But imagine if, say, there'd been a black baby inflatable floated a parliament for Obama. That would have been totally unacceptable. That wouldn't have been allowed. So, you know, those conversations are happening.
What would be the response in Britain if in the United States there were some sort of comparable image of Theresa May hanging over there when she visited here?
I think that in the inside the political establishment and among her supporters, they probably wouldn't be very pleased. But among the public at large, both among, you know, her enemies, of whom there are quite a few, and also I don't think the figure of a British Prime Minister doesn't attract that degree of sort of reverence that a president of the United States often seems to attract. A British Prime Minister really, you know, because a lot of the sort of cut and thrust in the House of Commons, the barracking, the demonstrations, these things are happening all the time. So there isn't, it's not quite the equivalent sort of atmosphere that surrounds British Prime Minister.
I assume partly that has to do with the structure of the government, too, because the yes. President of the United yes. States is elected. He's there for 4 years, he or she. We haven't had a woman yet, but they're there for 4 years and there's nothing you can do about it. Whereas with the parliament, they can come and go. And that might be the case right now with Theresa May. Where does she stand?
Well, there's a different opinions about this, too, because last Friday, it looked as though she'd really managed to consolidate her authority in a way that she almost hadn't done since the difficult election that she almost lost about a year ago. She corralled the whole of the cabinet to do with the Brexit question at Chequers, and basically kept them there talking until they all agreed to reach a consensus and say that they were a collectively responsible cabinet. But they all went away, and then 2 days later, by the Monday, it was all collapsing. And we'd had two resignations, including the resignation of the Foreign Secretary, Boris Johnson. We'd had two junior ministers resigning as well. And we'd had two vice chairmen of the Conservative Party resigning, which meant that the splits within the Conservative Party about the whole question of Brexit were suddenly even more out in the open than they were. But the response to that has been contradictory, because a lot of people have said, oh, you know, the divisions are now out there, it's open, everything's falling apart, Theresa May is much weaker. My view is actually slightly different, because I think she has actually managed to keep in the cabinet some prominent Brexit leaders, including Michael Gove, who is now Secretary for the Environment. And they've stayed in the cabinet, so she's managed to divide the leading Brexiteers. And my view, and the view of some other people, is that her cabinet is now more united, and the compromise document, which she's going to present to the Europeans and the European negotiator, I think next week, that may actually have more support in Parliament than anything that we've seen before. So, you know, fingers crossed, Theresa May not be quite as fragile as she looked maybe at the beginning of the week.
So there's a lot of uncertainty. First you see one thing, then you see another. And, of course, that brings us back to Donald Trump. First you see one thing, then you see another. This week he arrived in Brussels and first attacked NATO for not spending enough money, the NATO countries, for not spending enough money on defense. Then he specifically attacked Germany and Angela Merkel for a couple of things. First, for getting natural gas from Russia, and then for sort of being under the thumb of Russia. And then he turned around and was supportive of NATO and NATO's military thrusts in the direction of Russia. What do you make of all that?
Well, it looks, from the outside, it looks on the one hand like quite a muddle, and on the other hand, it looks almost like the worst of every possible world, because there was a lot of apprehension in Europe, I think, before Donald Trump arrived, that he was indeed going to be very critical of what the US regards, and not just Donald Trump, but the last two presidents at least have been very critical of the low payments, as they see it, the low contributions of European allies to the NATO defense effort. But still, Donald Trump's language and the way he went directly for Germany on the gas issue with Russia, both those things were, they were said in such a way that I doubt that it really set a very productive atmosphere for the rest of the meeting. That said, the Europeans will probably be quite relieved that there doesn't seem to be any talk of, say, Donald Trump taking the United States out of the alliance or refusing to pay what is currently being paid to subsidize, as they would see it, the Europeans. And there was also a suggestion before he came that maybe the US would say, right, we're going to end the presence of US troops in Germany. But so far, there doesn't seem to be anything said about that. So maybe there is, I think, what in Europe we've come to be quite familiar with, which is the words on the other hand, which can be quite shocking, and on the other hand, the actual deeds, which often don't quite match up.
After Mr. Trump meets with the Prime Minister of Britain, after he meets with the Queen, not at Buckingham Palace, I should say, but out of town, he will be going to Helsinki to meet with President Putin of Russia. Is there concern in Britain about their relationship, about the way that Mr. Trump seems to be and is often accused of here to be coddling up to a person who is very much regarded as an enemy of the Western alliance and the Western world in general?
I would say there are two very different opinions. There's an opinion, as it were, at the top of the political establishment, which is very concerned about what Trump and Putin might talk about and decide together. And there was even more concern when it looked as though Trump might have his meeting with Putin before the NATO summit rather than after it, or after the working visit to Britain. So at least that's been avoided. But I'd also say that there's another section of British opinion which is less vocal and more at grassroots level, which actually thinks that a meeting between Putin and Trump is actually quite a good thing, and that the British have put themselves a bit out on the limb by being so really uncompromisingly hard-line towards Russia over many years, not just because of the latest poisoning in Salisbury. So I think that the attitude to the Trump-Putin summit is actually less negative than it might appear from official statements and what you hear in, you know, official political circles.
In the meantime, is anybody in Britain paying attention given what's happening at the World Cup?
Oh, I think everybody is watching the World Cup with such relief, because the whole Brexit thing seems to have reached such a pitch that nobody knows what to think about it. Public opinion is hugely divided. When Donald Trump, in another rather undiplomatic remark, talked about there being turmoil in the UK, I mean, to an extent, there is turmoil in the UK. So I think people, at least so far, have been turning on their televisions with quite some relief.
Well, I hope your team wins. So, Mary Dashefsky, with the Independent newspaper in London, it's wonderful to talk with you, as always.
A pleasure.
This special edition of To the Point was produced by Andrea Brody. Our engineer is Joel Stein. I'm Armin Alney. Join us again for To the Point, wherever you get your podcasts.